How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Our Sunday track is Training in Reigning, How to Reign in Life by One Christ Jesus. How to be on top and not the bottom. Ruling over every circumstance of life, ruling over all the works of His hands. And isn't it good news that God wants us there? It really is. And I'm looking forward to this Sunday when key teaching as relates to the subject that we've been doing for three or four Sundays now. Now, tonight we're going to pick up from where we left off, and our subject has been the secrets of strength. And we have done two Wednesday nights now on the sources of strength. And God, remarkably, has provided for us 20, at least, 20 that I could find in Scripture, 20 different sources of strength. And depending on your circumstance, a certain source is more fitting than another source. We'll learn that when we get into the details of the secrets. But tonight, we want to continue on after the sources of strength now to understand the intended purposes of God for strength. It is something to know that God wants us strong. It is another thing to know why does He want us strong? Why does God want you strong? So that's our subject tonight, and so we'll begin here. Let me just bow for prayer one more time and thank you, Lord, for great privilege, the blessing of this people I pray for, and the help of the Spirit of God to in these 32 minutes that we have left to grasp some of the great purposes of why you intend your people to be strong. Bless us now with these truths from your word. In thy name I pray. Amen. Amen. It is important to understand that strength is not an option. You don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Shall I be strong or shall I be weak? I don't have a choice about strength. In fact, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. He commands. In fact, let's look at some more. Like He said to Joshua, have I not commanded thee? That was the question. Have I not commanded thee? Here was the command He gave to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, and don't be dismayed, for I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. Let's look at a couple more. The New Testament couple. Watch, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Not an option. A command from the Lord to be strong. Let's strong. Let's look at one more. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We'll come back to this verse in a few moments. But let any false idea leave you tonight as to any question or any doubt as to whether God wants to make you strong. Now, God is not just after a whole bunch of spiritual muscle men going around flexing their muscles and showing off. It's just kind of funny, you know, because a lot of the bodybuilders thing of today, they get strong and they can't run a half a mile. They got strength, but they don't want to take out the garbage can. They'll pump weights all day long. Something wrong with this picture. And strength is really not the reason why most of them work out. If you listen to them, you'll find out their motives are much less pure than the one of being strong. But if God wants you strong, it would be important to know why. For if we have strength and do not know what to do with our strength, we'll be like the guy who's all dressed up and no place to go. What is the point of all strength if it has no defining purpose, no direction for it? So, delightfully tonight, what we want to do is look at the proper purposes of strength. And these, again, in my weakness, are the ones I have found. You may find others. If you do in the Scriptures, I would like to know them. But let's look at some of these purposes of strength. Number one, the purpose of strength is to conquer adversity. Now, you might as well know it. It could have been written in the fine print, and the person who led you to the Lord didn't let you read the fine print. That could happen. If you look at the fine print, it will say things like, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But you don't want to stop there, because the rest of the fine print, but the Lord delivers us from them all. But adversity is going to come. It's why the symbol of Christianity is not a feather or a rose, but a cross. There will be offenses. In fact, Jesus put it this way, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom they come. It were better that a millstone be hung about his neck and he be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of the least of these, my brethren. I'm trying not to get bogged down in that verse. When I say bogged down, I don't mean bogged as in getting stuck and not able to get out, but I mean bogged in the delights of it. We could spend much time just in that one scripture. Adversity is going to come. Now watch this, because if you faint in the day of adversity, the reason is because your strength is small. And God doesn't want you to falter, fail, or faint when adversity comes. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Offenses will come. Adversity will come. But the design of God for you as a person is that you would be able to handle the adversity. To do so, by plain implication of the text, it's going to require some strength. Now, let me talk about this just for a minute. Oh, I shouldn't. Yeah, let me give you a little on this. when we pray to the Lord because of a difficult situation, the Lord answers in one of several ways. He will either alter the circumstances so you can deal with it, or he'll leave the circumstances and the adversity just the way it is, and he'll alter you so you can deal with the circumstances. Be careful that your prayers don't follow the one track, which is, oh God, change the adversity. Oh God, change mine enemies. Oh God, change the affliction. Oh God, change my circumstances. Now, there are times when that's appropriate, and there are times when God will do that. But in the main, he alters us. He alters us. And he does that in a number of ways. He gives you wisdom that you didn't have until the adversity came, so now you can just handle it because you got enough smarts to do so. It's not always a matter of strength. Sometimes it's a matter of wisdom. You know, it's like this big muscle man was boasting outside the gym where a little gardener was putting plants in the ground about his ability, flexing his muscles, and he had a group around him talking about how tough and how strong, how big, and what his measurements were. And a little gardener spoke up and said, "Mister, I believe I can wheel a load in this wheelbarrow across the street that you can't bring back." And the big guy said, "Oh yeah? The bet's on. What are you going to put in your barrel?" He said, "Hop in." Everything isn't a matter of strength. You know, you remember the scripture about chopping a tree down with a dull axe. It's not that you don't have strength, it's you got a dull axe. Often. So God often alters us with wisdom or strength to be greater than the adversity. That we face. I'm not sure you believe me yet. It is the reason why. Let me tell you some biblical reasons why you should accept what the preacher is trying to tell you right now. All things work together for your good. You can't lose. It's the reason why God doesn't. It's the reason why the New Testament doesn't teach escapism. Phillips translation, my favorite passage of James 1. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, do not resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they have come to test your faith and are producing the quality of endurance. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet a particular problem, he is only asked of God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel guilty or shame. But let them ask with sincere faith, without secret doubts as to whether they really want to know God's will or not. Stuff comes, but greater is he. So, conquering adversity is one of the reasons for strength. And then, you need strength to accomplish God's will. Now, I'm going to use an illustration from Scripture on this one, where the Lord says, "Take heed now." Watch this. "For the Lord hath chosen thee to..." Now, in this case, it's build a house for the sanctuary. In your case, it might be to build strong young men and women, sons and daughters. It might be to build the faith of others. Whatever the will of God is for you, take heed, because the Lord had chosen you to build. By the way, that's a good question to ask yourself sometime this evening after the service is over, is what does God want me to build? What am I doing here? And then the Lord says, be strong and do it. Doing the will of God will require some strength. It's one of the great purposes of why he wants you strong, so you can accomplish his will. David passed this on to Solomon. Be strong, of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Watch this now, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And then another purpose of strength is to be prosperous. And not only to be prosperous, but to be prosperous in such a way that your children will be lastingly benefited, and not only your children, but your children's children and your children's children's children. This is the essence of what we understand about God using us to raise up the foundation of many generations yet to come. Now, don't give your daughters to the sons of the heathen, and don't take their daughters for your sons. And don't try to be at peace with them or their wealth forever. I won't come back to that, maybe. That you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever and ever. Now, the question in this text is, what is the antecedent of the word it? What does the word it refer? I'm not sure I could tell you unequivocally one thing or the other, but what I can do with this scripture is show you some of the things it could refer to. At the superficial level, well, not superficial, this is not superficial, initially, as we look at this verse, I want you to see, because here is one of the secrets of strength. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a secret of strength. It will come in upcoming times, but you're going to get a preview of it tonight, because we're going to discover some of the secrets of strength from the Bible. I want to show you one in this text. Are you ready? This is a secret of strength, and here's what it is. No compromise. That is a secret to strength. Do not give your daughters unto their sons. Oh, that'll preach for a while. Preaching that's not heard much. Fathers, when you come down the aisle with your daughter on that great day, that second greatest day in the life of any human. The first one is when they're born again. The second one is when they're married. And you stand at a holy altar and you are about to give your daughter to a man. You better not do it and say, I do, or we do, or whatever you say, simply because the script calls for it. You give your daughter at that altar out of a conviction that this is the right thing to do. Now, that's not easy. It's not easy because our culture is so caught up in the symbol and the superficial that most fathers haven't even checked out the young boy sufficiently to whether his daughter should even have any kind of an association with him or not. But this text is plain. You don't give your daughters unto their sons. That's the sons of those who are out of covenant with the God of Israel. Now watch this. And don't take their daughters for your sons. Either. Number three. Don't try to be at peace with them because of their wealth. Are you all getting this? Isn't that wonderful? Again, I don't have to preach. I just read the scripture to you. The word preaches itself, doesn't it? Don't try to be at peace with them because of their wealth. Now watch this. These three things must never be compromised. Because if you do, you lose your strength. Now watch here now. Don't give your daughters to their sons. Don't take their daughters for your sons. And don't seek to be at peace with them because of their wealth. I don't want you to miss this. Forever. Never, never, never. Hallelujah. Now here, watch this now. That ye may be strong. Sorry, we got off track here. We're going to get into more of the secrets of strength another time. Tonight, it's the purposes of strength. Number four, to defeat Satan and demonic forces. Make no mistake about this. God intends that Satan be under your feet all the time. Make no mistake about this. God intends demons to be subject to you all the time. So watch. How do you get devil and demons to be subject to you? Answer, to be strong. Let's look at this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, I don't want to leave out the "in Lord" phrase. That's critical. Dealing with demons is not a matter of physical strength. Dealing with the devil is not a matter of emotional strength. Dealing with the devil is not a matter of mental power. Dealing with devils and demons is a matter of spiritual power. Spiritual strength. Be strong in the Lord. Now watch this. And in the power of His might. Watch now. You know the scripture. You got to memorize, haven't you? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able. Oh, I love this. I love the word of God. That ye may be able. Ah, blessed God. He comes to make you able. Capable. To stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch this. For we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Do not make this mistake. The enemy is not human. It's not a man. It's not a woman and not a boy or a girl. It's a devil. And you cannot, if somebody is possessed of devils, you can't fix that person unless you get rid of the devils first. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So watch this. Since we are in a wrestling match, not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. Therefore, be strong in the power of the Lord. And make sure you put on the whole armor. Well, I don't know if there's any area of teaching so misrepresented as the armor stuff. But for another day. You understand? One of the purposes of strength, then, is to defeat Satan and demonic forces. And then, you need strength to get work done. Now, a whole sermon could be preached. A sermon, I don't know. I don't know if I haven't preached a sermon for so long. I don't think I even know what a sermon is. And it doesn't appear to bother you, so I feel right at home. Because I wasn't told to preach sermons. You know what I was told to do? Preach the word. That's all. I gave up on homiletics long, long years ago because I wasn't called to preach homilies. I'm called to preach the word. And to be instant, in season, out of season, etc. A whole teaching would fit in here on the importance, the value of work. This would be a great place to have a Labor Day message. Because God had Adam and Eve working even before the curse. Did you know that? They were the keeper of the garden. Now, it was tougher after the curse than before the curse. Because before the curse, they didn't have all the weed stuff and etc. But then he said, cursed will be the ground. Isn't it interesting what the next phrase is? Cursed shall be the ground for your sakes, for your benefit. In other words, work's going to be harder now, but the reason it's going to be harder is for your own benefit. And half the thing, you know, idle hands are the devil's tools. That's an old-fashioned saying. You won't find it in the Bible in so many words. But work is one of the things we do, because if we weren't working, we'd get in trouble. So curse shall be the ground for your sake. You're going to work. And work is an honorable function. But it requires strength. Look at the text. Be strong, Super Bowl. Saith the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. Now watch this. And work. And I'll be with you in your work. Isn't that wonderful? Saith the Lord. Don't go to work without the Lord. You got it? Because you need strength. Now, what you want to be careful of is that you don't overuse time in your work. I'll stay out of that, or we won't get to the end here. You need strength in order to do exploits. The people that know their God shall be strong. Now watch it, because the purpose of the strength here is to do exploits. Now this is in Daniel. Beyond your vocation. Beyond the care of your family. The Lord's people are pointed towards and called to scores, if not hundreds or thousands of different missions that could be described as an exploit. You know, we've taken the romance, and I'm not referring to lovey-dovey boy-girl thing, but we've taken the romance out of the ministry. We've taken romance. You see, I don't know, there's something, you know, I'm sure I can, with sensitivity, not betray any confidence, but tell you that Lynn Corley is always doing some kind of exploit. She doesn't sit around. She's involved in exploits as well as Ted. I mean, God bless. I love this man. And beyond my agape love for him, I have great respect for the style, the stuff of his Christian faith, because it isn't passive, inert, and sit around lazy. They roll up their sleeves and they are involved in exploits. And God wants all of us, remember, because this is written, now we're tying back to Sunday morning now, to rule and reign in life by one Christ Jesus. So all the stuff of life is under control, and we got time and energy left over to do something. To do some exploits. And that's one of the purposes why God wants you to be strong. It might be a short-term mission trip. I don't know. Might be Builder's Care. It might be, I don't know. We were saved to do exploits, you see. Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it's 8 or 10. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Don't get saved by good works. Don't ever make that mistake. But you're saved for the purpose of good works. The people that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. You need strength to do exploits. You need strength to eliminate fear. One of the purposes of strength is to get fear out of your life. The Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Answer? Nobody, right? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's an interesting thing that in the book of Acts, it wasn't the apostles that were afraid, nor was it the disciples. Do you know who was afraid? The people were afraid of the apostles. The people were afraid of the disciples. Listen to the scripture. Great fear fell on the people. It is time that something happens so rudimentary in our Christian experience that we stop all fear. In such measure and capacity so that others have fear of us. Now, they shouldn't fear anything but our prayers and our love. But love and prayers are something to be afraid of. The unstoppable people, possessed by an unquenchable fire, we go about doing exploits, and we no fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. How'd you get that? Oh, there's a sermon. The three opposites to fear. Power, love, and sound mind. All three of them oppose fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Can't have love and fear. If you got fear, you don't have love. Not functioning in love. If you have fear, you're not in strength. He's not given a spirit of fear, but power. And with fear, watch this now, because with a sound mind, there is no fear. Because it is fear that robs the soundness of your mind. Well, the Lord's giving you stuff better than you're saying amen to it. All right. Given power and strength for the purpose of helping the poor and the needy. You see, when we reign in life, we have got everything in our lives under control. All right, listen now. Listen really closely. So that there is a surplus. A surplus of time, a surplus of strength, a surplus of power to benefit in His name, to give the cup of water, to visit the afflicted, to the widow in their affliction, to go to the prison, to feed the hungry. There's a surplus. The problem in most modern Christianity is we're so caught up with the world's way of doing stuff, we haven't got any surplus. All our time, all our energy is used for our stuff. But the Lord cares about poor and needy. By the way, just keep in your prayers, another builder's care. This weekend, another one. My wife, she amazes me. I don't understand where she has energy. She lives most of what I preach, and I'm trying to catch up. And this is a home where every child is either a paraplegic or a quadriplegic. And they don't even have wide enough to get wheelchairs up and down in one room to the other. So this weekend, it's another one of those great renovations done by the brothers and the sisters that love the Lord in this town for this home. The Lord been strength to the poor and a strength to the needy and the needy person's distress, a refuge from the storm, shadow from the heat. And we get to help with that. And then you get strength in order to help the weak. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm or bolster up the feeble knees. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Watch this, because here's the reason why we don't do much of this, is because we can use our surplus on pleasing ourselves. We ought to be helping the weak. That's what strength is for. In fact, those parts of the body which seem to be more feeble, this culture has learned to honor the strong and mock the weak. It's done in every television program. It's done in every talk show, morning, afternoon, or evening. It's the style of Hollywood to glamorize God. Comes along and says the feeble are necessary. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. I'm going to come up this Sunday morning, same text. So I'll stop and go to the last one and get you to the hitching post. We need love. We need strength in order to love, to fulfill the leadership of love, to fulfill the instructions of love. We need strength to accomplish the intentions of love. Because love is an action. It isn't a sentimentality. Love isn't passive, it's active. Love isn't given to a special group of people. We learned that when we studied the royal law. See, those that deserve love the least need it the most. So we don't go around looking for those who deserve it. But when you find somebody who needs love, not because they deserve it, but probably because they don't deserve it, it's going to take some strength. Let's look at this text. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. And let all your things that you're going to do with this strength be done with charity. We've covered the sources of strength, 20 of them, that I know about. We have talked tonight about the 10 purposes of strength that I found in Scripture. And next week, we're going to talk about the secrets, the principles that cause strength to happen, to come out of weakness. Because remember, the Lord said, let the weak say, well, how do you make sense out of that? You can't without knowing the secrets of how strength operates. And that's what we're going to do next Wednesday and this Sunday.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.